Oh, there I am.
All right, we're rolling. It's the beginning of the show. We're not going to edit anything.
Okay.
So watch what you say or don't watch. This is just going to be, we're going to fly by the seat of our pants here.
That's very raw and punk.
I'm very raw and punk. How was your experience on Skull Juice?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little alarming, but alarming is fun.
I feel like I probably alarmed you more than Andy at that point.
Well, I felt like I was caretaking Andy.
Yeah.
And then, but also trying to stay safe from Andy.
Yeah.
And I actually had a lot of curiosity about what you were talking about, because I just was like, wow, you've done some sex spelunking. And that, and I think there's at least a handbook in there.
That term scares me because I'm claustrophobic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you would never know it from the things you were describing.
Well, I don't go in small things.
No, but you go into...
I do get tied up and stuff.
But you go into territory that is not everyone explores. And so it's... okay, you're the Magellan of... of that world?
Wow, flatter me.
A sex Magellan? I don't know.
That's going to be my new album, Sex Magellan.
I was actually talking about this with my daughter, who's 12, and she was asking me, "Have you ever been with a lady, Mama?" And I said, "No, it wasn't really I didn't really think about it." And then I was like thinking more about it, and I feel like the message growing up, not necessarily in my house, but culturally, was definitely do not be gay. Do not think about other people. Don't think about that are your same sex. Don't. And then, of course, the Matthew Shepard story about being murdered because he was gay. There was so many.
Right,
there were so many stories about it that I was just like, oh, just even if I have a thought, just avoid it.
Do you think you buried it?
It's possible. I didn't go to college, so I didn't. I didn't. Have the, because that's the other thing too. It seems like you're allowed to explore and just write it off as an adventure in college.
Yeah.
But if you're already a grown up and then it's a suppressed notion.
Yeah.
So I guess I do have a little bit of homophobia, self homophobia.
Yeah.
That's part of it. But I am not above making a vegan dildo. I am not above.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, I don't know. I think also when your parents use up all of the oxygen in the room, when they do all the things with all the body parts and all the...
Really? So, yeah, because Frank publicly didn't seem like a sexual exploratory kind of guy, but I guess he was in his private life.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he moved a groupie into the house when I was little. But the other thing is, I imagined that he probably slept with maybe 6 to 12 women over the course of his entire marriage to my mother. I just assumed he probably strayed a couple of times.
Yeah.
But when I saw the documentary, Eat That Question, I was...
He's talking about groupies a lot in there.
Yeah, it was...
In one part, yeah.
And then I started asking band members about his adventures, and they were like, oh yeah, a girl every night at least.
Yeah.
At least one. If they were on tour and it was a 45... day tour with days off, 90 women.
Yeah.
So one in every town. And then they were sharing some of the things that he got up to. And I was like, oof.
Do you even want to hear that? Or
you know what's creepy? I do.
I don't know if it's that creepy. I mean, it's might be healthy to...
I don't know. Is that healthy to want to know?
I mean,
was he a good lover? Was he gentle? Was he aggressive? Was
he misogynistic?
I think
it's healthy to want to know as much about your parents, especially when they're gone,
did you ever have any of those kinds of thoughts about
I pretty much guarantee you that my parents never had sex with anyone else ever than each other.
And what was the tone of the home like?
It was like if we were watching a television show that even had a little bit of sexual innuendo, they would get embarrassed and uptight and giggle a little bit. Like, I can't believe we're watching this with our children.
Wow. So, yeah. So
I wouldn't say it was repressed as much as it just, it was a, they never talked about it in any kind of way. And, I remember on my, my dad, when he was sick with cancer and, he was paralyzed. My mom had to like change, you know, his sheets and diapers and stuff like that. And, he'd be like, isn't it something? We'd never show each other our bodies before. And I'm like, what? Like, you never. And my mom just shrugged. She's like, we were ashamed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Once I was.
But then, sorry, not to cut you off, no. But just to keep on the same topic, that I thought, okay, they never had sex either. They had sex three times.
For the three children?
Two children and one miscarriage. I was the firstborn after a miscarriage, after like 10 years of trying. So I was a little prince. But my mom said, yeah, they had sex all the way up until the end, you know.
Wow.
So they had sex just in the dark, I guess, or with their clothes on or what?
One time I was on a date and things got kind of heated, and my dress came off, and before anything could go any further, my date, his personal assistant arrived, and he had to sign some checks in the other room, and it was taking quite a long time, and I was losing interest in
your dress was already off.
Exactly. And I was like, I better put the dress back on, it's been a while.
Yeah.
And as I was hunting for my dress, I saw that there was some period blood on the sheets that was not my own. And
oh.
I was so upset because I really liked this guy, clearly, or I wouldn't have taken my dress
off. Well, how long were you with him?
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
And so I called my mother from this back bedroom and I was like, I don't know what to do. She goes, well, if you love someone, that's the kind of stuff you put up with.
Yeah, well, your mom did, I guess.
Great advice.
But I mean, it wasn't wet period blood.
No, it was old and dried. It was from probably the day or so prior. So yeah,
or
he just didn't change his sheets and he was just a huge pig. It's, yeah, either way,
it's not so good.
It wasn't great. My point is, there were a few situations where I was like, I can barely explore the terrain I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't need more data,
right,
outside of the data I can't handle already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, because originally I was going to say that I thought maybe because Frank, you know, I mean, his music isn't about sexuality, really, is it?
Well, he had kind of a, first of all, this was the most upsetting sound to me. I think I might have told you before. He would, he did that in the house a lot, and that was the sound of fucking.
Oh, boy.
So I was very tiny, and I was like, what is that terrible sound?
And he said that's sex?
That's sex, and they had a T-shirt that was made. It was phonetically sounded out, and everything. I was traumatized by that.
You never know what's going to traumatize a
you
kid.
You don't know. So yeah. I instead of scream therapy, I just was going just to try to, like, you know, get it out of my system a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
So dogs licking themselves, that could just put me over the edge.
Yeah. So yeah, so you rebelled a little bit in that way, sexually maybe.
Yeah, I think the other form of rebellion, and maybe I told you this story too, was I went to a dance retreat recently, and it's one of those things, like, it's a moving meditation, and you kind of have to track inside your body what's trapped in there, what didn't get to get expressed, and what needs a little bit of daylight.
Yeah.
And so at one point, the women were encouraged to scream out all the words that they weren't allowed to say in their homes.
Uh-huh.
And so women were yelling out, butthole, cunt, pussy, whatever they were shouting.
And you screamed, I love Nixon.
No, I screamed out, vulnerability, intimacy. Yeah, the stuff that you, make love was, a word that you couldn't say those two words together. There was
really?
No such thing as making love. So rebellion in my house would be making love, intimacy,
but
asking for help, these kinds of things.
Wow. But fucking.
Fucking have at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. so I'm trying to gear it towards songwriting. So, but
so all that untapped passion,
yeah,
for me turned into really sappy songwriting.
And you didn't rebel against music.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, so I think we're gonna. I don't even know what's on that cassette I brought you. It's
all right.
I'm
so
terrified.
Moon Unit Zappa. I guess I could say you're here, even though they probably read it on the page. So I don't really have to introduce you, daughter of Frank.
Yeah, I used to be I used to do some music journalism for a bit. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I was really just trying to hook up with heavy metal bands.
Yeah,
I wanted a boyfriend who was a heavy metal guy. That was my thing.
Did your dad like heavy metal? Were you rebelling
against? Oh, not at all.
Against?
No, that would have been rebellion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joining the army would have been rebellion. becoming a lawyer
you don't
would have been
be
rebellion.
That
no.
Though.
So I had to
do the fun rebellion.
Exactly. I had to do the ones I could live with.
Yeah. So did you date some heavy metal guys?
Yes, I did. One incident really made me laugh. This guy named Amir Durak. He was in a band called Rough Cut with two T's, and I had a massive crush on this guy. He was, I think, maybe Middle Eastern and Irish or something. He had really good hair and a beautiful complexion. And I was not his flavor. And he let me know. He was like, I am not interested in you. And I thought that was so thoughtful that he was so direct with me. And this will be a theme in this show because I am a fan of people being
right.
Direct.
I know what story you're going to get to. And it's about songwriting, so
it all
works perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that
so,
was,
but you're so your heavy metal
fail.
Your heavy metal boyfriends. Did you write songs with them?
In fact, I ended up marrying a musician, a drummer, and I was so excited to. First of all, I love drummers. But I was excited to have music in the house because that's how I was raised. And it's a comforting thought to me to be hearing music all the time and have instruments and musicians around all the time. And he was not a braggy musician. He never wanted to play his stuff. He never wanted me to hear his stuff. He would hide. And
so he was a musician, but drumming was his major. Like
he can play every instrument, he just didn't. You would think I had married somebody completely unrelated to the music industry because there was a gaping lack of music in the home. And then he switched from drums to guitar, and I was like, whoa, 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 I did not sign up for guitar player. I picked drummer. Nice steady beat, keeps it organized. I did not marry a front man. This is some bullshit.
you married your dad by mistake.
Luckily we're still friends, but I can't do a front man. That is that is not for me.
Yeah, because you know what they go through. They sleep with everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The drummers get their ejects. At least there's some pause time. They could be like, do I want to do this?
Yeah.
I like to think, but I could be wrong. There's got to be some super slutty drummers out there. Phil Collins must have been an animal.
Yeah, but he was a frontman drummer, so. Mickey Dolenz. Wonder if he really played drums.
I don't know.
You should have asked your dad. He was on that show. He was on the last episode.
Yeah,
I think.
He was. Yeah. That's right. I just remember those photos of who was the main guy, the singer?
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones. Yeah. I remember the photos of him with his dick in a box, I think. I remember I think that's on the internet somewhere.
Wow.
I think he had his dick in a box, and I think the other one was Pat Boone, I think, also had his dick in a box.
Why would they keep it in a box?
A box, you know, cut a hole in the box, and people. It's like, surprise, open the gift box and your dick's in the box.
So dumb.
People do it with popcorn containers too, right?
Yeah.
Reach in for some popcorn. I never had that on a date, but I don't think I would go back for a second date if while reaching for popcorn, I found testicles.
Yeah, because it's like, I guess if it's just a joke, but it wouldn't be just a joke. It's they do it because they're horny, but what's the point? You know, someone touching it by mistake?
That's a weird fetish, right?
Yeah.
Touch it by mistake.
Yeah.
But people do like to do that, right? They just like to
guess so. I like to be liked.
I agree. I like to be liked too.
I mean, even if my form of being liked is hating me, but at least it's active, you know? It's not a passive like, ew, what's this all of a sudden?
I am so into you. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. Or so not into you that I'm going to punch your penis. Yeah. But yeah, I want people to be in control mostly, you know.
Have you ever written a song called "Punch My Penis"?
No,
no, because that's just for the bedroom. Then the music is your tender side.
I don't really want my penis punched.
Okay,
slapped around a little bit.
Okay,
is all right. Uh huh.
I did know a guy who would smack his penis with a can opener, like the ones that are the really heavy old school ones. He would stretch his penis out and then whack it
He must have had a strong penis.
Something.
Or an insensitive one.
Yeah, something. That didn't seem like that was a natural progression. That seemed like that was I don't know.
Probably had some home life issues.
Maybe. Yeah. He was hilarious.
So you've been like, okay, you grow up with
front man, by the way.
Yeah.
P.S.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Penis. So you grew up with you know, a famous dad who's a prolific songwriter.
Right.
Did you start thinking about writing songs early? Like, were they always in your head naturally? Or were you like, I want to be like dad? Or
no, I think I avoided songwriting because obviously it was all used up in my family with the patriarch.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, I think in my 20s, I was like, maybe I could, if I like painting, I like acting, I like dancing, I like directing. I'll try this too.
Yeah. And oh, look what's here. Songwriting. Oh, hi.
Exactly.
I didn't know you'd be here.
Exactly. So yeah. I think I must've read some book about, maybe it was Viktor Frankl, something that made me think, oh, why not just do everything once? Why not just do all the art forms and just, you know, why not? So I started writing some songs, but I don't play an instrument. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to work with patient musicians. I definitely hear music best over the drums.
Mm-hmm.
If I hear percussion, I can hear melodies, but I'm definitely one of those frustrated people.
Well, you know, Michael Jackson didn't. Someone was telling me about Michael Jackson, I think yesterday. Might have been, who was it? This friend, sound engineer guy, and he was talking about Michael Jackson, how, you know, he would just sing into a tape player and he'd have all the melodies, but he'd have a whole factory of people. And he's like, yeah, he's just brilliant. He would just give it to them and go, I want you to make a sound that hasn't ever been heard before. And I'm like, that's not brilliant. They're brilliant for thinking of it. Him saying, hey, I want you to think of something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not brilliant. I mean, I guess he had great melodies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was never into Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I wasn't either. But yeah, that's a style. I'm just saying
you could be a songwriter and not, yeah, obviously, and not know any instruments. Yeah, I mean, your voice is an instrument.
Right, and I can carry a tune, but it's in this. I never had ambition. Like, I have to get my songs out there. I have to be in front of people and telling stories. Like, I didn't have any of that. I didn't.
But you like doing it.
I mean, I think if you're gonna decide between karaoke or therapy, save the money, go to karaoke. Yeah. You will learn all about where you are blocked just trying to belt a song in public.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah.
Or people that can sing in their cars. I think that's they're extremely brave to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's something about the super showy music people that it just is such a strange combo. Because a lot of the times it isn't necessarily about your talent. It's just they like to be in front of other people. They want other people watching them.
Right.
I say this about almost every blonde pop singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to be blonde to garner the
and karaoke is amazing too, because it's the people who don't even have they don't know how to be artists in any kind of way, but they want that popularity and they want to sing in front of people, and they're famous for like 30 seconds, you know.
I think it'd be really fun to have a studio in the house and just record your own stuff all day long, but I don't have that next step that says, and now for others. I'm just missing that.
Yeah, it took me, you know, 25 years of writing songs to bring them out to people, you know, and now, you know, and it really paid off because no one cares anyway. But I'm having fun doing it, you know.
I think that was the other piece of it that feels weird is, oh, having fun in front of other people also is kind of a weird thing.
Well, people are...
See me
some
smiling.
People,
see me
some
laughing.
Some people are... You know, like all these guys who watch sports, I don't get it, you know? I mean, I'm not a big, like, sports... I don't play a lot of sports, but I would definitely rather be playing baseball than watching baseball, for God's sake.
Right. Like, sometimes I'll do stand-up, and it's definitely... My goal is really to make the other person laugh. It is not because I want to be up there being seen making people laugh. I'm really, truly trying my hardest to give the audience member a gift.
I think that's what...
Whereas
that's...
music, I feel like I don't have... I'm not wired to feel like, this is for you, dude who's...
It's definitely a more internal... It could be a more internal thing. You want an automatic response with comedy. If you can't just be out there doing comedy and people going, yeah, I'm digging this comedian. They got to laugh.
Right. The part that embarrasses me about music is the part that's like, I wrote this. It was for me. And now I'm going to play it. And you're basically just hearing someone's diary entry.
But I like that. I like doing it. And I like hearing other people. I want to hear something personal from someone. I get disappointed when I hear a song that seems really heartfelt and the songwriter says, yeah, I just wrote it. This really didn't happen to me.
Well, that's weird. I have to agree. I do like to watch that, but to be the person doing it, there is something, and maybe it's just
because you're too humble or something.
No, I think I just feel too exposed. Maybe I don't know. Cause then I think then I'm like, oh, now,
but you're going to let us play this thing that's on tape
because
here.
I hope it makes someone laugh.
Oh,
I cannot imagine anyone would listen to me.
And also some of the best comedy is exposing yourself.
Yeah. If someone enjoys this, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So wait, you found this tape. And, you know, I don't know, should we get right to the tape? But
well, here's the thing. I'm not sure what this tape is. This could have been after, well, let me set it up. So when I was deciding to do music, I recorded a couple of songs, I think just literally on a cassette. And I was like, I'm going to send these to three producers I think would be right for me.
Yeah.
One was Brian Eno. One was John Bryan.
Wow.
And one was Jack Endino, who did the first Nirvana album. And I was just thinking, I'm kind of sappy, so these people, I feel like, could improve that. This one could make me less sappy because there's the punky thing, and Brian Eno would just do something totally unique. And then John Bryan, I just loved how quirky he was too. So I felt like those are three great choices. And this was at a time when
you knew how to have contact.
Yeah, and this
with
is
him.
The thing. This is a time when my dad was probably still alive. I don't remember now actually, but it was still at a time when you could just pick up the phone and call someone's agent and be like, hey, I'd like to send them something. And if you had a modicum of a last name or some fame on your own,
you had a hit song,
right? And so they'd pass it along.
Yeah.
I didn't hear back from Brian Eno or from John Bryan, but I did hear back from Jack Endino.
And, oh, thank God! And what did they say?
Mm-hmm. And
I know the story.
Yeah, exactly. And so I couldn't find the most awful, embarrassing part of the letter that he wrote me. But basically,
what do you mean you couldn't find it?
No, I can't. For some reason, that page is missing. More or less.
What reason do you think that is?
No, I don't know what happened to it. I'd love to find it. I think I just didn't have enough time to dig in the box. But essentially, he wrote me about a 4-page letter explaining why I should never be in the music business.
Oh, man.
How I am truly ill-equipped to... He basically says that I think like I'm singing like a storyteller instead of a musician. I'm I'm a visual person, not an auditory singery person.
I want to hear the songs.
And so he basically said that, let's see if I can find some of this. It says, the music has no character at all. It is grooveless, swingless, no motion at all. So you better have a strong, unique, memorable singing style with very clever lyrics, because there ain't nothing else happening. He also went on to say that the music behind me is essentially doing nothing, all caps, so you force yourself to be like Aretha, all caps, or something, in order to carry it off. And he was letting me know I am not Aretha in any way, shape, or form. The songs were terrible, sonically terrible. And I think he thought, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Hopefully I've been honest.
How did he, I want to know how he ended the letter. Give me the last two lines of the letter and then the sign off.
Okay, that's all for now. I felt you deserved me putting time and thought into this, whether I'm the guy you need or not. Please take this in the constructive way it was intended, and don't go off and slash your wrists. I know music is personal and all, but I always call them as I sees them. Any less would make me a charlatan.
So he was open to still work with you then.
Well, I guess he was. I think he just was balls out. This is a giant no.
Yeah.
And everything is wrong with this.
Right.
But I'm open.
He wanted to at least appear open.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you came back with.
And I came back with. Thank you for your honesty. I would love to work with you. You seem to have a real grasp of my flaws and the obstacles I am working with.
He's like, oh, blah, 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 wait.
And so the cassette I brought, I don't know if this is the cassette after we were trying to work together or the one I sent him that
God,
he hated.
God, I hope it's the one you sent.
I know, I do too.
Will you know if we hear it?
Or yeah, oh yeah, for sure, yeah. I'll know, yeah.
All right.
So maybe we could play a little and see what's on there.
All right, before we play it,
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Valley Girl.
Go ahead. What would you like to know?
Because I feel like we're gonna get way off track once we listen to that.
This song, this is definitely not Valley Girl.
just because that's your hit, and you didn't go to your dad saying, let's make a song, did you? Or did you?
Well, I went to my father.
Are you like Lucy and I Love Lucy, where you're always trying to get in on this song?
The time I spent in that studio was really just going into the vocal booth and screaming at the top of my lungs, why am I in this family? How do I make it stop?
The only way you could get him to hear you was to talk into a mic.
Exactly.
And then into
exactly.
his headphones.
But I had, I really wanted to spend time with him. I really was wanting father-daughter time. So I was like, oh, you know what?
Sad.
It is, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so I thought, oh, I'll just, here's what I'll do. I'll meet him on his home turf.
That's great.
Downstairs in the basement. Maybe we can spend time where he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Since he won't come upstairs to spend time where I is.
Yeah.
So I wrote him a note and slid it under the double doors, the soundproof doors.
Yeah.
And I said, maybe we could work together sometime. And then one night on a school night, he woke me up. Because that's a great time to spend father-daughter time.
Yeah, yeah.
About 2-3 in the morning when you've got to
get
up.
You're most vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, do that funny voice you do. And then he just kept giving me little prompts. And then I would improvise and just try to make him laugh.
Do you think he would have done that if you didn't approach him first? Or do you think he kept it in the back of his head? Or...
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, I do remember he'd asked me to sing backing vocals on a couple of things, but I can't remember if that was before or after Valley Girl. It must have been after. It must have been
you
after.
You know, it was not because we had this today, but this morning my daughter was over at my place, and she still is, and I'm recording background vocals to the Christmas album with the band, and there's one with like a kids choir. And I said, you know, we need kind of like a lower voice. Would you do it? And yesterday she's like, oh, maybe. And this morning she's like, no. I'm like, are you? Yeah, no. Like she just didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do it.
Interesting.
Like I would love it if she was like, I put her in my like TV shows and stuff like that, you know. Because I don't know how to save for her, so she gets money.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to take that money. But you know, I think it's a good father-daughter, because I don't know what to do with a daughter, usually.
Sing-along sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I didn't have any sisters. My mom was Greek. She was pretty much a man, you know? So it was like literally I would fall and skin my knee and my mom would go, suck it up, you know? Quit your crying. It's nothing wrong with you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's probably why I'm bad in relationships. You know, I don't know how, I don't understand women at all, you know?
Right. Yeah. That sounds challenging.
Yeah.
But a little information would, I mean, you start off telling them I come from this kind of communication.
Yeah.
Cause I do think it is hard to go from kind of crazy to super nurturing. That's a bit, you gotta like have kind of crazy, a little less crazy.
Yeah.
Getting better. Heading in the direction of nurturing, right?
Yeah. I'm definitely with my daughter, I'm overly nurturing, mm-hmm. which might be why she's like, get the fuck out of my face mm-hmm. a lot of time. I mean, I'm playing it up. We mm-hmm. we do have a good relationship. But it's always challenging to figure out what we can do together besides mm-hmm. sit and watch a movie, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I do remember, I mean, my dad definitely, like Tamersha Dueen, he has a song Tamersha Dueen, and that's because I had an invisible friend, which was a camel named Tamersha Dueen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was, I think he was inspired by that.
Where'd you come up with that name? Because it sounds sort of like
Middle I'm sure Eastern. The camel just told me its name. I can't imagine I was... I'm sure I didn't hear that at kindergarten.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I didn't borrow it from anyone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one I think was named Sanini. I had actually two camels.
Yeah.
Two invisible camels.
Wow. Camels.
Yeah. Yeah. They were my power animals when I was growing up.
It kind of makes, I mean, your dad looks a little Arabic.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
For sure. He does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He, you know, I could see his spirit animal being a camel.
Mm-hmm. when the album Shake Your Booty came out, mm-hmm. They had a party and there was a camel. There was a photo op with a camel in front of some club on Sunset.
And how old were you at that point?
I probably was 10.
And when did your camel was?
I was tiny. That was way earlier. 5. Yeah. Those camels probably left by the time I was 7.
Do you still love camels?
I'm just starting to get back into camels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're cute again. Koalas are back too. I'm really loving koalas right now.
Koalas never stopped being cute.
They I don't know.
That's camels, you know.
Anteaters are flipping adorable. Baby anteaters, they hurt me. They're so cute.
Well, yeah, you love.
I like a schnoz. I like some.
That's why we get along.
I like a little character with my lovable things. Yeah. Yeah.
Daddy issue much?
Yes. You caught me.
I didn't catch you. You threw yourself at me. Yeah. It all makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. My daughter will probably like big noses too.
How old is she?
She just turned 18.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure many big noses
just
in her future.
Just got a job waitressing at a bar.
How does she like it?
Well, I mean, she's training. She had one day, you know, got stiffed already on the tip.
Wow.
Yeah. $100 bill.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just how it goes, huh? That world is, I can't even imagine. First of all, I can't imagine staying up past
7:30. Luckily, she doesn't really need the money yet, so.
Well, that is good.
She's got no reason to cry about it.
That is lucky.
Yeah.
But who else is up at that hour besides 9? Are you all up at that hour?
What hour?
Well, when the bar's open, or is this a day drinking situation?
Well, she works until 11.
P.M.
Yeah.
Not A.M.
Yeah. 11. Although she got her schedule and she's supposed to work at 6 a.m. on Sunday.
Yeah. Bars are open at 6 a.m.?
Well, dive bars are, but this has got food in it, you know? So
I
can't believe it opens that early. Maybe they open for breakfast or something.
Huh.
But yeah.
Wow.
No, I'm not a late guy. I'm more of an early day drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you could tell. There's one story where, because I used to work on a TV show called Community, and we, I was not on that episode. So I woke up the next day and it was 6 a.m. and I'm like, oh, it's 6 a.m. You know, the drawing room's open. I'll just go have a drink. I feel like having a drink and I just can't sleep anymore. So I walk in and I just hear my name, Dino. And I'm like, oh, some idiot drunk. And it turns out it's like Danny Pudi, who's in the cast of Community. He's there. They had just wrapped. So they were having,
oh my gosh,
end of the night drink.
Wow.
You know, a nightcap. And I was walking in for breakfast.
Wow.
You know, so.
That must have been a good day.
yeah. The day went from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and then I went to sleep.
God, I don't have the energy for those.
Well, I don't either. Yeah. I mean, I'm always the first to leave at night.
I wonder if I ever will have that enthusiasm again. I feel like you can only behave that way when you are in love with someone. I feel like that's.
Or life.
Right? One of the two. But the rest of the time, you're like, you know what? Sleep sounds just as interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's go to this tape.
Speaking of love.
Now, I hope this tape player is. I have never used this tape player.
Let's see if it works.
That would be the worst if it tore up your tape, too.
Oh, boy. That would. Well, or not. I don't even know what's on there. Let's find out.
If I hear something immediately, I'll stop it. Is it on?
Let's try the Fisher Price.
I mean, once I press play, it'll be on.
We'll see. Let's find out. Squeaky. Yeah, this is exciting. What's on it? It's an old Sony. Is that the one that John Cusack held up in that?
I feel like he had bigger speakers.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. This All is... right, so I don't press the red button. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see what's happening. Does it have
okay, I'm not hearing anything. Okay, the tape still seems to be...
Try again. Anything?
No, is
Does
this,
it need to be...
Is this
outlet, I don't even see a light on.
Is this outlet working? Does this outlet work here?
Let's find out. We need people now.
This is the worst show ever.
Not necessarily. This is the suspense part of the show. Oh, something.
Oh, there's a power thing.
Hello.
All right, I just thought you just played.
It's been a while since
Yeah.
There we go. Here we go. Fingers crossed.
Good as a corn in an open upturned hand.
I think it's sweet so far.
Never miss, and I left.
What's a demo?
Is it the one you sent him?
No. This is me trying to work with him. Oh.
I like it. I do. It's sweet and raw. You know I like raw.
Yeah. Yep.
Good as a corn.
This is the hook, everybody.
In an open, upturned hand, another death, and I'm left making up my own mind.
I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's Dino.
That's there he is, and Dino.
Good as a call.
Is he playing?
He's playing. Yeah, I don't play, but
like when you.
I'm good. I'm good. We can stop it now. I'm good. What good is it?
What good is
a coin
when you
in an open upturned hand?
That's not. That's a nice line.
Another death, and I'm left making up my own mind. I don't even know what that means.
I love it. It's imagery. He's right. You have you're a storyteller. When you sent him the original demo, was there music on it or just?
Oh yes, no. And that one was. I think I was trying to. I was really into En Vogue at the time, and so I think I was trying to send like four black women singing to a
click
track.
So you did different tracks.
Well, I sent him a song that was. The idea of the song was about a woman who was on an iceberg,
mm-hmm.
and floating away from love, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably dressed like Stevie Nicks. I think that was probably the basic idea of the song, which like, I feel like
like flowing white gowns and
or just something
sheer gowns.
Something lengthy.
Yeah.
Something with a collar that goes to your ankles.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of some of the imagery I was working with.
That would have been a good music video.
To me, it was it had both a polar bear feeling and a volcano feeling. And again, these are still visuals, no sonics.
Yeah, but I think there's something in that, you know, like if you could visualize something and...
I think I was honestly...
Something visual can be translated into music.
I think... I was probably, I should have sent it to the set and lighting people. Mm-hmm. I was a few steps ahead.
Well, look,
I think I was in production design mode or ready for the video.
I just wrote a song.
Yeah.
About, it's through the point of view of a dead person. It was inspired by Our Town, but it's for my Halloween album. But, so it's just a dead person speaking through the grave about his old cemetery that he's buried in, you know, and how he's been there forever. Mm-hmm. And I just started playing and I just pictured him down deep coming up and then visually coming up and then going back down. And through that, I just started. Actually, I'm not even plugged in. Let me plug in.
How many guitars do you have?
I have four guitars, one acoustic and three electrics.
Do you write on this one the most?
Probably, yeah, because this is kind of, it's a hybrid of both. It's a hollow body electric. I really like it, and I stole it from Andy Dick. So it's a very simple, just two chords, but in between the verses, it would just go. Kind of back, like pulsate slowly. And I was doing it subconsciously, but then I was realizing it's what I'm kind of picturing, you know? So that...
Yeah.
So I'm just expressing how I think, like, you know, volcanoes and polar bears could be expressed through music in some way. I mean,
perhaps I've just not found the right producer who can work with somebody who's
a visual musician. I'm just saying.
Are you offering to produce my album?
Yes.
Thank you. This has been so productive. I'm so excited. Are you going to play the rest of the song?
I you know what? I fucked up and I didn't bring the lyric. I wonder if I have it. I might have it on my phone.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. You have to remember the stuff that you've done, right? That's how.
Well, I just wrote it, so.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Yeah.
Too fresh.
Let's see.
There was when I would go on tour with my ex-husband, there was for a little bit they were traveling with this mobile recording studio, and I think it was done through John Lennon Foundation or something, and it was fantastic. You could go, and every day you could get in that little caravan and record something, and take a stab at
it's
it.
It's amazing to have that at your disposal.
Yeah, that was just a blast, and I just thought we need a fleet of these instead of food trucks. Where are all the recording trucks that can just go everywhere? I mean, I think they still have a bunch. I think a few people still do
it's
that.
True.
But it's, there should be.
I mean, it should be equally the same amount as food trucks. I mean, don't take food trucks away.
Right?
I mean,
no, I'm not.
Food trucks are delicious.
You need snacks.
I'm going to screw it up, but you know. Old cemetery where pallbearers carry memories of us homed here and in their loss. Ugh. Towering rocks are eternal stopclocks. Old warden's teeth with prisoners beneath in an immortal sentence. Far too late for repentance. up. Old cemetery, teeming with gothic fairies, angels morose as we decompose, loved ones crying as our skulls lie smiling under monoliths engraved, wait forever in a grave.
That melody's so pretty.
Old cemetery, no one recently buried, overfilled with our shells, no newcomer dwell. It just goes on like that.
That's so pretty. That melody is amazing. The words are great too.
Thank you.
Have you ever had someone else sing it so you could hear
yourself better?
I'd
love to have anyone cover any of my songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To write something for somebody else. I like doing that with actual writing, with the scripts. And so I love being given a challenge to
And also
bring
like
out the best in somebody else.
With this album, since it's a Halloween album and I'm having fun with it, I'm able to explore vocally things that I wouldn't normally explore because I'd feel too pretentious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm singing, you know, like I'm really, I've been listening to a lot of Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wrote, this morning I just wrote a Screamin' Jay Hawkins song.
Uh-huh.
And I get to, you know, wah, just go, and blah! Yeah. Just really just kind of have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I think I told you I started taking guitar lessons not that long ago. Like I think I'm like 8 or 9 weeks in, and I'm truly terrible. Steve Vai gave me a guitar teacher to call.
You know what? All you need is learn some chords, have them teach you some chords, a couple of strums,
mm-hmm.
and then just like practice, and then just start writing songs mm-hmm. immediately. Because you can. I mean,
right.
if you just know some chords mm-hmm. and you could get a sound, that's the best way to learn is
right.
just playing your own songs and or you know, going like on the internet and finding songs that you really like just to see the chord progression and trying that in your own songs.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. I'm trying not to look at the instrument while I play. I'm trying to literally just have some muscle memory so I could, because my goal is to be able to sing and play at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't see how you can if you're twisted around your instrument, looking at the notes that you're trying to play.
Yeah, just don't get discouraged because it's just fun and just.
But strumming, that to me is the problem. I cannot figure out a comfortable strumming situation.
That'll just come in time.
How did you? What did?
You started
so early. You don't even remember.
Well, you know, I mean, I do remember because I would do the same strum over and over again. But then I'd hear another strum and then try and do that. And it takes a long time to just build that memory up because mm-hmm. it really is just doing
patterns.
It instinctually after
right.
a while. Yeah. But if you love the sound of a guitar and you can hear yourself getting even a little bit better, mm-hmm. It's just a fun process.
Well, have me back after I've learned a couple of chords, and I'll play something live in the studio.
Yeah, no, I mean, no one's ever done the tape thing. That's a huge. That was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. There is one other song. The show's almost done.
No,
already.
Whenever.
Oh, well,
whenever.
There's a. I think I asked Matt if he would cue up that one song. I don't know if he found it. There was one other song.
Oh, I don't know if he could play it here. Should I just put it on my.
Yeah, maybe you could find it.
All right. I'll put it in here. I think I just hook this up. So what is
this one, if you look it up, that was one of the songs that I recorded in the. I think we recorded in that little caravan thing. It's called Everyone is Going Mad, I think. You can look and see if you can find it. I don't even know how it got on the intranets, but you can see if you can locate it. And you can hear some more of my very soft instincts. And this is the other thing. This is the other reason why I didn't want to do music. It's so the opposite of my dad. It's embarrassingly sincere. That's the part that makes me.
I'll probably like that even more than your dad stuff, because I like sincere. Okay, I think I.
It's really my lovemaking self.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. So who did this?
My ex-husband, Paul Doucette.
Is he the drummer?
Turned frontman.
Yeah.
Get up while you can. That's good advice. You can stand. But my legs tend to break in given days underneath the weight of everyone going mad. Everyone is going mad.
I'm a squish ball.
I like how much time you're taking between lines, too. I didn't with that song, but I tend to run them all together.
While you can, I wish we could. The only way out is through. If it were up to me, I'd make the clock stand still and hold you while everyone is going mad.
When did you write this?
I think in 2002, maybe.
Wow, before everyone went mad.
Nostradamus.
Yeah. You figured it out early.
Here comes the really big... Actually tearing up because it's like such exposure, and I can really hear how nice that girl is.
She's so sweet, and she knows how to sing. That's great.
Yeah, ultra sincerity.
And it's like a little music box. It really brings out the little girl.
I remember. There's a musician, Jane Sibbery, and she's a Canadian singer-songwriter. And I remember she did a cover. I've told you this. She'd done a cover of her own, the first songs that she'd ever written. Mm-hmm. She re-recorded them when she was in her 40s,
oh,
I think.
Wow.
And it was so incredibly touching because, of course, when you're first starting out with anything,
yeah.
it's It's very embarrassing. And she, it was such a loving act to go back.
Shit, that's a great idea.
And own her original material.
You know who should do that? Paul Simon.
Oh, that would be incredible, right?
Because he has such really pretty early songs that he would never do now because they're kind of dopey too.
Right. And so she just totally owned her dopiness and was like, I'm going to just get in there and just hold that chick's hand and just love her up. And I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's taken me like 20 years to write some songs too because I'll just put them away. So in some ways I'm writing a song with 20-year-old me, you know, and answering him back in the same song, you know, in some weird way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. A really pretty song.
Oh my gosh. This is, what do I owe you for this? This has like been like a therapy session. This is,
How's this for therapy?
And some weird hair. He's capable of anything.
You will probably have to call the ZFD for permission for this.
His name is Frank Zappa.
Oh, that's from the film.
Well, this is,
A trailer? The trailer for...
No, this is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
induction. Oh!
But they're getting... It's taking a while to get there. Because you accepted the award.
That's right. But,
let's see.
I really want to go to that museum, too. I haven't been yet.
I've been there. That's in Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I went, I think I went with Conan. We were doing a remote there when I worked on Conan. And, like they have like handwritten first drafts of Beatles songs and shit like that there.
One of my favorite things in the world is to actually, when you love a song first, you hear it first, and then you see how the person sings it, how their mouth shapes the words. I find that so fascinating, just to see their handwriting, their movements, it's really pretty. I don't know. There's something really powerful about that.
And is that stuff lying around anywhere? Like your dad's like scribblings and stuff?
Oh,
like
I'm
that?
Sure. I'm sure it is, was, and I have no idea what they've done with it. I would have loved to have seen all that stuff and had access to it.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad's handwriting was just absolutely beautiful. It's definitely some of my favorite.
Really?
Art.
And legible and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was, the precision, crazy precision.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because what I would do when I'm writing lyrics, I usually write in a bar, so my shorthand, so no one understands it, is messiness. but then I have to go and figure it out too. But I have at least I could do sense memory and trace it and kind of figure it out.
and that's so interesting, just how everyone gets into themselves and how they get that stuff back out. How they
The process is always. That's why I love this show. I like to talk about that.
Yeah,
you know.
Awesome. I love hearing anybody talk about their relationship to music or their, I don't know. I think it's one of those, music is still one of those, it's so experiential. It was built for you to be in your underpants having your own experience. Or out of your underpants having your own experience.
Yeah, that's really letting loose.
Were you like the guy that has to put music on to like, get sexy or
no? God, no. No, not the music I listen to. Cat Stevens.
Oh boy.
Yeah. No, but you know, I mean, it took me a while to get sexy. You know, if I am sexy at all, I mean, like sexual. So I'm a late bloomer, but I was a late bloomer with music too. Mm-hmm. You know, other people would be buying music albums. I'd be buying comedy albums.
Is there music you won't listen to?
No, I'm not crazy about, country Western.
Yeah.
I like country. I like good old country, like Hank Williams and even like new stuff. If it's like sincere. And
how about doo-wop?
You know what? I bought a jukebox. I told you it was full of 50s doo-wop. And, couldn't get it out of there quicker.
Is that the same? What's honky tonk? That is like country Western.
I think that's more. Yeah. That's more country. Yeah. That's like, maybe like Hank Williams might be a little honky tonk.
Is he honky tonk? I thought it was a little bit older.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, older meaning more recent, meaning meaning 70s country. No?
I don't know. I don't really know what honky-tonk is. I pictured more country. I thought Hank Williams had a honky-tonk song where he actually says honky-tonk.
What's Sheryl Crow type music? What's that?
It's Sheryl Crow-y.
That was the thing that was so fun, too, about going into record stores. Yeah. It's just all the categories. You'd be like, world music? What? Huh?
Yeah.
Just to see that somebody was...
Yeah, everyone always... categorizing music is not my specialty. And also, like, when someone asks me what kind of music, I don't know.
And there's so many...
In my head, it sounds like, you know... But Tom Petty, you know, I sound like Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Were you a Tom Petty fan?
Love, are you? Yes.
I guess you don't have to stop being
one. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Fuck him for dying.
I know. I was pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a shock, boy.
It's been a hard year for the...
Well, it makes sense, right? Yeah. Because, you know, there was a huge surge of, you know... In our lifetime, like in the 60s and 70s, you know, just a lot of legendary acts, and they're all going to start going, you know, fast.
Don't say it. I know, but it is true. It is true.
Just prepare yourself. That's all I'm saying.
I honestly, Kate Bush, I think I can't handle that. I don't want that one. That one.
Right.
There's certain ones I'm like, nope, that one can't go.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of certainly Tom Petty was one of them, but I didn't even think about that.
Right.
I thought he had like, you know, 30 good years left.
Right.
But, you know, Elvis Costello.
Oh, don't even say it.
Yeah. I know. Why are we, why am I doing this?
Yeah, this is, what's that game where you have to you have to guess who's going next? Do we win something for it? No, nothing. This is pointless.
What is that called? I think Andy Dick's on it. I think he's like a front runner.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Like he's always on the list?
Yeah. It's like the bucket list, or what is it? I think it's, no, it's not called bucket list. What is it called?
It is a game, right?
It's
a game you play.
Yeah, it was the last big superhero movie was named after that.
Boy, I have nothing.
Come on, Matt, you know. No. What was that? The superhero. It was kind of mostly a comedy. It was out like a year ago.
With Chris Pratt, that one.
Maybe.
I have no idea. I mean, I could not know less.
Come
about
on, you know what I'm
movies
talking
movies or games.
It
or...
was. He was. He's. Deadpool.
Oh,
it's called Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's a superhero movie.
He's always in every... Yeah, Dweezil's always in all the lists where you connect two people to two other people. Or
oh, yeah.
The, he's always
the
a...
The Kevin Bacon game.
Yeah, he's always part of that list.
The six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, he's in... He's,
you know, I met Kevin Bacon hugged me, so...
Have you had him on the show? He's a musician sometimes.
Actually, right? You're right. The Bacon Brothers.
Yeah. Get that guy in here.
Yeah, I don't know. I got fired from a show that we were supposed to be co-stars together.
Oh.
But I mentioned that I tried heroin and I got canceled. I got fired.
Really?
Yeah.
Because don't they just, I thought you're rewarded in Hollywood for doing that. They're like, oh, you know what? Good try. I'm glad you're back. No?
Or yeah, I even said I hated it. And, you know, it was, you know, everyone has their issues.
It's a crazy time. Yeah. None of it makes sense.
Yeah. I didn't even want the part. I walked in saying, I'm not an actor. And then I got the part and like I was going to be like a lead on this show. And I was like, wow, I guess I'll write it out. You know?
And you, it was going to be
And
you?
Because
was
I.
It a, was it a buddy cop show with you and Kevin Bacon? I would have watched. I'd watch that.
No. It was. it's called I Love Dick. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Griffin Dunn now has the part I was going to play.
He has your part.
And I love Griffin Dunn. So
he's done zero heroin. I guess that's the assumption.
Well, at least he hasn't admitted it.
That's funny. Huh.
Well, thanks for coming on and crying.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you again. I don't have to see my therapist for real. And you've launched my music career, so I'll see you in the studio.
I love that
stuff. This was great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Do you want to plug anything? And that you're probably way more famous than this.
No,
show,
just that, so. that there's a that I'm doing a music podcast. It's a
called, in this room.
That's right. It's called Launch Left. I do it with Rain Phoenix.
Has it launched yet?
It launches by the time this airs. It will have probably launched. Or is this launching now? Is this on right now?
This isn't live. We're not going out live.
When will this air?
This airs next Tuesday.
Yeah, so then I think I will be...
Oh, cool.
People can have a...
We'll be sister shows.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very excited about it. So if you... It's more ways to hear music, talk about music.
Yeah.
Be excited about music.
You get some good guests. You're gonna have... Do you want to say who you're going to have on?
No. They can... It's all... Okay. I like a little mystery.
All right. Thanks. I love you.
Love you back. See you later.
Bye.